So, are you on?
Yeah.
Okay. So, this is the Outreach Subcommittee meeting for December 4th, 2018. Members Joanne Fine, Valerie St. John, and Chantel Galloway are present, along with Amanda Bustos and Ed Harness. We're going to go ahead and call this meeting to order. The outreach mission statement is that outreach will promote the mission of the POB and be the bridge for communication within the community. Can we get an approval of the agenda?
I make a motion to approve the agenda as noted.
Second.
Okay. All in favor? Aye.
Aye.
And can we get an approval of the minutes? Amanda, thank you for getting these out to us.
Yes, yeah, so there's two sets. Mm-hmm. It is the August 28th, and then there is the September 25th one.
Okay. Can we have a motion to approve the August 28th minutes?
I make a motion that we accept the August 20, 2018 minutes.
Okay.
Do you have an extra pen?
An extra pen.
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 All in favor?
Thank you.
Aye.
Okay. And a motion to approve the September 25th minutes.
I make a motion that we accept the September 25, 2018 minutes.
Okay. And a second.
Second.
All in favor? Aye. Okay. Those have been approved. There's nobody present for public comment, so we are going to move on to item 6 of the agenda, which is the discussion and approval of the CPOA annual report. Did you guys get a chance to look over that?
I'm still working on it.
Yeah, me too.
Okay. I did finish that up, so I have a couple of remarks or questions or whatever.
Okay.
Throughout this document, at the beginning of it, let's start there. The abbreviations for the CPOA and the POB and whatever seem to start out with spelling out each at the beginning of the page and then go on to abbreviate them after that. So I think that that's probably a good, just my two cents, I think that's probably a good way of doing this, but it doesn't stay consistent throughout the whole document. So probably looking and kind of cleaning that up would be good. Tables and graphs, and you may want to double check me, Amanda, but I think that there is like a general rule of thumb mm-hmm. that says tables and graphs should be on the same page that they're referenced. So there are a handful of these that it'll say like figure 27 and it'll be on one page, but the actual figure is on the following page. And so you may want to take a look at that. And you may want to double check me because I don't know that that's a hard and fast rule.
Okay.
It's just something that I'm remembering from grad school. Yeah.
on the abbreviations?
Yeah.
A lot of organizations will have a an abbreviations page
okay.
so that anybody can reference as one of the, you know, either in the front end or the back end.
Right.
So that if you're in the midst of it and you don't know what it means, you don't have to go back okay. through the pages, you can look it up.
And that would be fine, too, just so long as it's consistent throughout some
sure.
way, shape, or form, so it's consistent.
That's noted, and we'll definitely communicate that with the with Miriam and her group that are working.
And then
with
in the copy, you can just reference, you know, or on the footnote or something, say,
right.
there's a thing of terms, whatever you call it, abbreviation
term. Abbreviation
right.
term, okay.
And then also, again, just for consistency, numbers 1 through 10, either spelled out or numbered, one or the other. I think the general rule of thumb is spelled out 1 through 10 and then numbers afterwards. So just like some cleanup things.
Okay.
On the like trends and highlights page, I don't know how detailed you guys want to go through this first one. The trends and highlights page, in the third paragraph, second line, procedure violations are referred to the chief of police, I believe. There's that missing in there.
Mm-hmm.
On page 6, oh yeah, so on page 5 and 6, so there's that big old table on page 5 that bleeds over into page 6. I don't know if there's any way to just kind of like shrink that so it all fits on one or not, just for cleaning it up a bit.
Go to maybe it's because of the way yours is paginated.
Mine should be just booklet styled, but maybe.
Okay, are there more than four categories?
No, just the four. It just, yeah, it just bleeds over into that next page on mine, but it may not.
The actual is an 8.5 by 11?
I think it is. This should have just printed booklet and shrunk, but that may not be the case.
Okay.
Under the process for reviewing civilian police complaints and findings, complaint is capitalized all throughout here, and is that as it should be? I don't know. That was a question for myself.
Well, it should be in the header.
But all through the rest of it, through the text, I would think that it would not be a capitalized word. But can we also list all of the options? So this thing, where was it? I said, can we list all options and explain them? Options, I think there are three options for the way that the POB handles complaints that are brought in. And I think this one only talks about if the police oversight board approves the findings of the CPOA. But I think that there are like three different ways of handling a...
Like mediation, you mean?
Well, no, like we either approve or we send the case back for additional investigation, or we don't. Isn't there three of them? I'm looking at you. I think you were telling me that. Yeah, okay. So if we could probably list all of those, because we did list the different types of...
Outcomes.
Yeah. That might be good as well.
So it's what the process options are, as well as the findings options.
Right, exactly. Okay. Exactly, yeah. Under background, in that first paragraph, where's the beginning? The POB is tasked with reviewing and amending or approving the findings of the administrative office, investigations, and providing policy. It says guidance for Albuquerque Police Department. Should it maybe be recommendations too? Guidance seems like we're trying
like we're
to educate them.
And it is recommendations. I think the word in the ordinance is recommendations, isn't it? Ed?
I believe so.
Okay.
So we should probably be consistent with that.
And I can give you this, Amanda, with all of these little notes,
too, if you like. Yeah, I have like. Them for you, but that would be helpful.
I can do that. In the second paragraph, that whole second paragraph seemed to talk about semi-annual reports. And then that very last sentence says annual report addressed the period of January 1st through December 31st, 2017. Mm-hmm. I don't know if that's just because we didn't do semi-annual reports, but it didn't quite fit when I was reading it.
And is that referring to this report we're looking at?
That's what I'm asking. Yeah, that's the question.
So
is that the reason why?
Okay.
Yes.
Should it?
Yes.
It is?
Yes.
What's the value of having that sentence?
What would
be the negative of taking it out altogether?
To put it in context so that people aren't looking for two reports for 2017.
Maybe I would say then just take out annual. This current report or the current report
this
addresses.
Report. How about this report addresses?
Yeah, just it that way it's not quite highlighting the fact that we didn't do the two.
Well, I even think that the saying this, the current annual report, it doesn't refer that we're talking about this report we're reading.
So just
if
this
you just
report?
Said this report.
Yeah. Provision of meaningful opportunities for appeal of CPOA findings, public meetings and implementations of a community outreach program, and submission of semi-annual reports to City Council. I said how, but I don't know what I was thinking.
How do we get that done?
Maybe that's what I was thinking. But I circled it. Mine is bottom of page 7. And in the 1-2-3 paragraph, last sentence, last line. And submission of semi-annual reports to City Council. I don't know. I don't know what I was thinking, but I wrote how. So it may have just been that. Are we doing them with written reports or oral reports or what? Under the purpose of civilian oversight, which is on my page 8, so that may not be on yours.
Mm-hmm.
It is. NACOL is a nonprofit organization that brings together individuals or agencies working to establish or improve civilian oversight rather than just oversight.
Well, it isn't always civilian, so there may be oversight that is not civilian, is there, Ed?
With NACOL?
There are, well, NACOL is civilian, but there are hybrids that include...
Within NACOL?
That include some law enforcement.
Okay, so maybe that doesn't need to go in there. Okay, I already talked about that one. I'm just not crazy about the way that the sentence reads. When fundamental requests were made, oh, sorry, this is under page 12, policy development and recommendations in 2017. And the second sentence of second paragraph. When fundamental requests were made to Chief Gordon Eden to allow greater access to the APD policy development process, these requests were firmly rejected in a letter written by him dated April 17th, 2017. Maybe in a letter he wrote or a letter authored, he authored something, but a letter written by him just seems a little funky in my head. Ordinance changes, the first four lines, this is on that same page, it's just a really tough couple of sentences to read. Like, it took three or four passes to, like, fully grasp what was being said. So maybe some rewording of that. Also, I wasn't crazy on the next page, in the first paragraph. A little better than halfway down that paragraph. It says, because this training was delayed for new board members, the POB had to make a considerable effort to influence APD to furnish training they themselves had considered important. This activity was not completed until March 2018 when the modified version of the Citizens Police Academy...
It says policy.
Policy?
It says the Citizens Policy Academy.
Oh, good catch. Good catch. Was compressed into 4 days of class time held over two consecutive weekends. That kind of seems a little...
Well, And I think that's related to what you brought up before in terms of the letter from Gordon.
Yeah, it just seems a little...
It is a much better position to be in to say, we did what we could... And we were we found resistance in this to this by the police department, by the administration, whatever. It really is focused on our behavior, not someone else's behavior, because otherwise it sounds like we're being aggressive to them,
uh-huh.
And that is not the intent of this. We are describing to the city council what it is that we achieved. And what barriers or assistance we received in the process. So we're results-based on our half, okay? We could say anything that relates to we would have liked to have done more, but we're blocked in this way. As a matter of fact, not a matter of anger or ridicule. And it makes us look small to do otherwise. So I would change, I would say that your comment here in paragraph two, that should be rewritten with that thought in mind. And the same thing is true on this part with the police academy. We've already told them in as many ways as is humanly possible that they screwed up. And that's not the point of this. Hitting them over the head with a hammer is not a good idea. It's not in our self-interest to do that. I'm not saying don't put it in there. I'm saying figure out how to say it so that we're focused on what we could get to and where we were barricaded, and not in blaming.
Exactly. That was so much more eloquently put than my little note of it seems a little tattletale-ish.
How do you spell tattletale-ish?
Okay. Just under POB policy recommendations on the next page, if these conditions are not met, all these conditions are not met, I think, comma, all the parties, and then civilian oversight, public, police, public, kind of in parentheses, or somehow other, like, pulled out, become frustrated with the process, because it's a little
Well, there's a way to say that in a positive. So to say it in a positive is to say, this is best practice, as opposed to if when these, in other words, when these conditions are met, there's a smoother process, better result. And not everything negative has to be said out loud. Mm-hmm. And I would just say from the positive when that's not the case. So if you state the positive and then say when that's not the case, we don't reach the same level of success. Mm-hmm. So I would say eliminate the negative. Again, I'm not saying don't say it's it isn't negative. We're affirming the positive.
Right. On that very following paragraph, that the end of the last sentence, beginning with who was not held, I would just chunk from who was not held accountable to the end.
Where are you?
The very next paragraph on that. We have not forgotten that APD is owner. No, sorry, above that. The formal POB one. That very last sentence.
While this process may be successful.
Experience from previous APD administration suggests that it depends primarily on the chief for acceptance, and I would end it there. I would totally end it there.
Yeah, I don't think there's anybody on the city council or in the public who don't get that that we hit a brick wall. So, you know, saying it out loud seems like a blinding flash of the obvious. And I think when they go low, we go high. Mm-hmm.
2017 complaint data, there is a reference to 268 cases and 133 cases. I'm sure, and then the graphs don't always, like, or tables meet up to those numbers. I don't understand that. I'm sure that there's a explanation for it and just, like, what, like, probably just terminology that I'm not grasping, but it was unclear to me, so I would imagine it would be unclear to somebody who's not as in the process as we are. So maybe if those numbers are accurate, explaining
well,
a little bit
a
what the difference
and say why it doesn't meet the number.
Exactly. And I would look at that throughout these tables because I did not go and count up the numbers for each and every one of these tables. So
because it's the natural thing that people would do.
That's true.
In reading it is to add it up.
No, that's what I do.
And then on some of these graphs or some of these probably I think it's just the pie charts if I'm not mistaken. They just don't look like they're completed. They have category name percentage attached to them, so I don't think that we got a final copy of this, or like an even close to final copy.
Give me an example of what you mean.
This one right here on page 21, this pie chart. On mine, it's figure 5, so probably back this way. And maybe it's just mine the way it printed. See, yours has stuff. Mine doesn't. Mine says category name percentage.
Oh, yeah. I think if it was printed on a bigger page, you'd have it.
So that may not be an issue. On the next page, types of sustained findings by the CPOA, they are called cases in the description for figure 8. They're called cases with the exception of 3 complaints or 19%, so that probably just needs to be cleaned up.
So in the, let's go back to the pie charts in your first comment about it not adding up. For example, one of the things that in this chart it says is, wait a minute. It says that there were 68 administratively closed cases. That would mean that there were 200 complaints. If we look at this chart, it was on page 13.
Thank you.
So right from the jump, it's 200 complaints and 48 were investigated. Does that mean the remaining 152 are in the process of still being investigated? I don't understand what that means, and I then now let's carry the 48 over, so now we have 48 that are investigative complaints. When we go to the pie chart, is that what we're talking about? If we, so this out of a total of 48 on page 18 or figure 5, whatever the first pie chart is.
Sorry, bear with me while I get back over there.
There it is.
On this one.
Mm-hmm. So it may be that this is out of a total of 48. I still don't know where the other 152 are. And they may be in process. It may be that they crossed over a year or they were counted. I don't know. I'm assuming it has to be counted in this year. I don't know the answer to that question, but it would be the first thing I would ask if I was the city councilor. And so my example on the pie chart, I'm trying to make 2 points here. My example on the pie chart is, this is for a total number of how many? Mm-hmm. And that should relate to this number here, 48, or 200, whatever the number is supposed to be here.
And if it doesn't, an explanation as to
an
why.
An explanation as to why.
What it is, where they're pulling that stuff.
So a footnote on the chart could say, let's say, for example, the truth is that this represents 48 investigated cases, and that would jive. I mean, that's all you'd have to say is that it relates to that.
Yeah, I'm hoping that's not the case, though, because with 4 investigators, that would mean 1 case a month that's investigated, mm-hmm. right? And that's going to be really hard, I think, for city council to swallow.
Well, we still have to answer the question with
right.
152.
I'm just saying I hope that's not the case.
So let's start there. Where is the 152?
This is something that I'll have to have the analyst come in and answer for you.
Okay. Are we wanting to do this at the board meeting next week?
Yes, it's going to be on the agenda.
Should we have them there for that? Okay, cool.
And is it true then, Ed, on page 18, where the pie chart is findings for completed investigations into complaint allegations in 2017, is it true that this pie chart relates to 48 investigations? Or you don't know?
48 investigated complaints represent 133 allegations of misconduct. Figure 5 describes a percentage of exonerated, sustained, not sustained, and unfounded.
But the pie chart itself as a whole represents 48?
Or the 133 allegations, or?
It represents 133 allegations.
Okay.
Okay, I missed the allegations part. 133, yeah. Where is that?
It's in this piece.
Under figure 4.
Yeah.
Investigative findings.
So, I mean, obviously we can see that this is a little confusing. Just the way that the information is presented.
It says case summary on page 13. It says case summary and status of all complaints received and complaints investigated in 2017. And it compares them to other years. So it is confusing to me why there's only 48 investigated complaints in 2017. When you look back at 2016, there were 227. What's happening here? And, you know, I don't understand why in 2016 it doesn't add up either.
Yeah.
So it's too confusing, and we can't really have meaningful conversations about the value of this unless we understand the premise by which it's the math is done. So I don't know what you want to do about that, but I don't know where 133 comes from when you look at this chart.
Well, and even like to your point, in 2016, there are 198 total complaints received, but 227 investigated. So
it could be that could make sense if you think 198 new ones were received that year.
But they were pulling over from these.
Correct.
From the year before. Okay.
That's possible.
An explanation.
But it doesn't explain it.
Yeah. Okay. So, just keep on complaints. I already told you cases, numbers versus words. There is a block, a text block around, it's on my page 28. Figures 17 and 18 are at the top of the page, right there. There's a text block around that portion of the text underneath those charts that I think was just mistakenly left in there. Just cleaned up, like, I won't go through like all of the commas and stuff. Oh, and the way that this is worded in some of these places, it's like the text is referring to the graph for justification for what's being said. So if you look at this graph, it describes blah, 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 rather than the graph being used to explain the text, it's like reversed. Mm-hmm. So almost like it's pulling that as a research point. And it's just the way that things are worded. So cleaning up some of that. Yeah, so this was my note. Figures should reference, not justify, or sound like they are the source of the info. In total, 105 APD. This is on page 32 of mine under demographics for officers. In total, 105 APD sworn and civilian staff were represented in civilian police complaints. It says completed by the CPOA, and I just wondered if it should be received or investigated by the CPOA.
And I'd be curious to know how that compares to the population. So how does that compare to how many officers are in APD that are male, how many that are, you know what I'm saying? Because if it's 85% male and 15% female as the general population, then that shows you that it's in line with that. There's no skewing. But if you don't have it to compare it to, it's a number in the dark.
And I think that my issue with completed was it sounds like the CPOA filed these complaints rather than they were brought to the CPOA. Does that make sense? Kind of, I think
how
you had a...
not completed but investigated?
That was one of the words I wrote down.
Yeah.
But I was actually thinking of Sean Willoughby when I was reading that and you having that conversation about not... what was the word you used? Oh, I don't remember. Anyway, but like you don't just go out and investigate things just for the sake of investigating them, like they have to be complaints that are brought to the CPOA.
Right, we don't proactively initiate investigations.
And so I think that was just a matter of holding true to that. Yeah, completed or investigated, received or investigated rather than completed.
And is this second sentence here where it says N89, does that mean that this 89% of the police force, is that the answer to the question I was asking?
That's your sample size.
Oh, okay.
Or your population. It may be the population. Oh, but it's the population because it's 105 APD officers. Yeah, and so that would be 105. So that's your population size.
Why is it there?
I think that's the answer. I think it's the answer of your question.
No, it's
so
85%. Well, it can't be because it's not 89 and 16 is more than 100%.
Well, it's 105 officers, so it's not percentage. It's an actual number. Yeah.
Okay.
And so they're saying that 85% of the officers
the question about
are 89. There are 89 people that makes up
85% of the respondents.
Yeah.
Okay, but it doesn't answer the question of what the population of the police department
is. No, it does
not.
Female. You are right.
The male-female population is in figure 25, 86% male, 14% female.
Oh, it's on the next page, is that what you mean?
Gender composition of APD?
It's on page 33.
Yeah. That would be a neat thing to
next
to it.
Except for that, okay, so that's sort of it. But this particular paragraph says sworn and civilian staff, and so it's referencing them, the civilian staff as well, and this one just says gender composition of APD sworn officers. So it's missing that civilian
it has to be apples to apples.
Yeah, and I'm not sure if that's available or not.
Okay. On that same figure 25 page, I think about halfway down that paragraph, it says example in figure 27. I think it's actually supposed to be figure 26 instead of 27. It seems to be referencing figure 26 graph. Just above that, the sentence before that, research suggests that on average, often a small fraction of officers are responsible for a majority of complaints. I would just get rid of often. I don't think it adds anything to it. And then it says these data. I think that maybe should be this data, but I'm unclear because data is multiple pieces.
But these data. Yeah. Points
or these data, data points. Something to fix that and clean that up a little bit, because these data right now just not going to be okay. Comma. I had a question on page 37. Figure 32 and the information that's associated with it, just kind of out of curiosity, how do those numbers compare with the number of call-outs or documented interactions with people? So this one was APD officers involved in complaints in 2017 by area command. If the Northeast Area Command has a much higher volume of calls than the Southwest Area Command, I would expect that their number of complaints would be higher, just proportionally. And so I think that's probably a good piece of information to add into this as
well.
Tell
me how you think they're connected, because you know what I see when I look at this, living in the Northeast, is I think there are people who are empowered to complain.
That may be.
And related to, and as opposed to Southwest, where people feel less empowered. You know,
sure.
So that may be part of it. So relative to how much crime is in that area, there's not a controlling factor as far as that's concerned.
Sure. If you have 100 call-outs, and out of every 100, you have 17 in the Northeast Area Command, right? That's 17% of your population, as opposed to if you're in the Southwest Area Command and you only have 10 call-outs, but you have 5 complaints, then that's 50% of your call-outs that are resulting in complaints that are being filed on the officers. And so is there then a training or a supervisory thing that's not happening in the Southwest Area Command that would allow
for
50%?
I understand your point that it's a ratio thing you're trying to say compared to how much business you do.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
how much of it results in complaints. I just think that, and I understand that logic, but I don't know that the things people complain about are necessarily, I mean, a lot of the complaints we get are, you know, he drove fast past me, mm-hmm. you know, he was rude to me.
But these are complaints on the officer, not complaints to APD about, you know, somebody is speeding or my house was broken into or, hey, my brother was just murdered.
Okay.
Does that make sense?
Well, I think it's apples and oranges, but I understand your intention. I'm just not sure that these numbers together do that.
And that's what I'm asking for. That's why I'm asking for the flip side of that. How many calls out do they get so that we can see if the Southwest Area Command or the Northwest Area Command is, you know, receiving 85% complaints, then there's probably a problem, even though the Northwest Area Command has more numbers of complaints, the percentage may not match.
Well, and then think about it this way then, though. There's another way to look at that. Suppose you take a look at the physical space or the number of people who live in the Northwest Area Command.
Mm-hmm.
You could compare it to the population. You know what I'm saying?
That's exactly what I'm asking for. That's exactly what I'm asking for.
So I'm just thinking that just because there may be more complaints just because there's more people.
Yeah, no, and I'm not asking about, like, the number of complaints that are happening. I'm asking about the number of, I'm not asking about the number of calls that are generated in a Northwest, or in a area command. I'm asking about the number of complaints in relation to the number of calls that are generated. So if, oh, goodness. Let me do it this way. So Valley Area and Southwest Area Command, Valley Area has nine complaints on the officers in that area, and the Southwest Area Command has five. But if they only had 10 calls, right, if they only had 10 calls that ended with a police officer interacting with a civilian, and nine out of those 10 civilians complain about those police officers, there's probably a problem. And there's probably a bigger problem than if 5 out of 10 people complain about those officers. Am I making sense at all? Mm-hmm. Like, it's just, for every 100 calls, how many are resulting in a complaint? And what is there a training issue or a supervisory issue? I think those are things that we need to be concerned about as a board, and part of the oversight process.
I see the
process.
Legitimacy of your thought. I'm thinking that the number of adults in the population in that area command would be a better measure. So in other words, is there a disparity between how many complaints are being received? Because I don't see the connection between a call out and necessarily a complaint.
No, I know, but that's all I'm asking about. So I know that like one area of town may have more calls, and I think that where we're not meeting up is with the word complaint. Because I'm talking about solely complaints against APD personnel. I'm not talking about a complaint about something that's going on in the community to APD that results in an officer going out. I'm talking about complaints when an officer has gone out against that officer.
And only I wonder that if that's how we count complaints when we're talking about the total number of complaints, if we make that distinction between is it against an APD employee or not?
Isn't that what this graph represents, or did I completely miss the mark on that? This figure 32.
These are tracking the complaints received by area command as directed by the ordinance.
Against an officer, or are they APD, service calls?
APD personnel.
Okay, APD personnel, so civilian or sworn. But this graph does not reflect the number of calls for service, correct?
Right.
So what is the value of doing it, comparing it to calls for service? What do you think the value of that is?
I don't know. It's not my argument. I mean,
we have a difference of opinion.
I understand that there's it's analyzing it maybe from a customer service standpoint. Is it customer expectation in the Northeast Area Command, or is it call volume that's driving a certain ratio? APD says that they've got a ratio that, based upon calls for service and contacts with the public across the department, there's a certain percentage that force is going to be used. So they're making that argument that that's the level of expectation. So is the level of expectation the same across the city, or is there a correlation between the number of complaints and the number of calls for service? And I don't know.
So I think that what we both agree on is this is a number, but it's not compared to anything.
Yeah, it's incomplete.
And so maybe when you talk to your data people, you can help. Maybe we're trying to come up with a solution when in fact we just should post the question. And so how could we make these number of complaints fit in the context of the work they do? So is there a way to compare that, and what would be the legitimate statistical way to do that?
Yes.
And perhaps the data people can.
That would be a question for them to try and answer. Yes. This is simply what we're tasked to
provide. I just think it would be a more meaningful answer if it was in the context of something. I agree with you.
Yes. Okay. Going a couple of pages further, the paragraph that says figure 35 indicates March had the highest frequency of recommendations. Number one, I don't know why that matters, but it's in there, so that's fine. Lesser than we actually involved? I don't think that that's...
What page are you on?
On page 40 on mine. It's under eight. Well,
by month?
Yeah. So it's this one. likely lesser than we were actually involved. That does not seem...
Likely lesser than we're actually involved.
Yeah. That doesn't, I think it's just less. I don't think lesser is the right word, but I'm not positive on that either.
Yeah.
Not to strike up this debate, but the same question that I had about the out of curiosity stuff as calls and percentages and whatever is what is the meaningful data. I have the same question on for figure 37 and the stuff in figure 37. So just relating that to something else. So job well done forms. It's just the other side of it. On the next page, under risk management claims paid for APD, understanding when financial payments are made for settlements for issues, that's just sloppy. That needs to be cleaned up too. Reworded somehow.
So understanding the importance of financial payments made in settlement. Mm-hmm. It's just the grammar is wrong.
Yeah. Yeah. There's an extra space between Aaron's name and Amanda's name in Appendix 1. Amanda's little blurb talks about her recently having moved to Albuquerque from LA, but then that's it also so says 2015,
yeah.
So that's not so okay. Recent anymore, I think. I think that's it. I don't think I really spent a whole lot of time looking through meeting dates and stuff like that. I don't know if that's what you had intended for going through this document, but there you have it.
Thank you. Good job.
Thanks.
What, Ed, I would ask you, and I would ask you mm-hmm. too as well, what things do you think are not in this report that could be, besides the things we mentioned here? I mean, we reacted to what was in here, but what about what isn't in here? Is there stuff we should be looking at? Is there stuff that the data people would like us to collect that they see as a gaping hole or a little hole?
I think that Dr. Guerin has some ideas, but we haven't discussed them. He has some ideas for how he would like to change the reports and the reporting and still maintaining the obligations that set forth under the settlement agreement and the ordinance. But we haven't discussed those specifically.
Okay.
And so do you feel that this, have you compared this to the ordinance and you feel like everything in the ordinance is answered?
Yes. It's not, it meets the threshold for what we're obligated to report. And so that's the first and the most important criteria, along with making sure that we're getting back on track. You should know that I'll be sending this out to Charles Harrison today because of an IMPRA request.
Okay.
With the changes we just talked about, or no?
No, just...
Just to make sure it's just...
The draft, as I discussed it at CRC last week.
Okay.
What would you like to see in this report moving forward? What kind of data would you like to see us collect? And we finally have a cooperating.
I would leave that to Dr. Guerin and the board's wishes as to how they want to analyze trends and data. You know, that's your purview. More per se, I would be interested to hear what he has to say. From my standpoint, just practically, I'd just rather just make sure that we're hitting what we need to for the ordinance and that we're back on track and timely.
It's really important to me that the numbers jive, and so it's important that somebody on staff go over that with the data people to make sure it all, the questions we had are questions that are everyone's going to have, so the math needs to work.
Mm-hmm. I think that's certainly a great discussion point for when it's on on the agenda for POB.
Okay.
I mean, this is a draft, and it's, and it's working toward a final product to get it to get it in, and I think that would be a meaningful discourse along to have the analyst there who's pulling the numbers and getting all that information.
The other thought that I have about this is that in the beginning you compare years, but throughout the rest of the report, we don't know that anything that's, let's say, gender or complaints or whatever item you pick, that we don't have a comparison to previous years. And that may be because it's not dramatically different. But in the copy, it should say, this is consistent, in my opinion, it should say, this is consistent with previous, the last 3 years, this is not consistent, whatever it is. And if something jumps out to show the data from the year in which it's different from this significantly. You know what I'm saying? Does that make sense? So it may be that it's consistent
right.
year after
I mean,
year, but we
be,
can't tell that.
Those would be trends that could be questions and things that needed to be analyzed. You know, is there a spike in office complaints against female officers or
right.
Those kinds of things?
I didn't see that comparison.
Right.
Here.
No, I'm saying that. That was just as an example.
Right. And that's what I'm saying.
Right.
I didn't see any places where it said, and maybe it's because there is no dramatic difference. But
I'm not sure that I don't think that the question has been asked.
Okay.
For the report to be that way, we're just laying out the report.
Okay. Well, maybe that's a suggestion for the future.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, we're just laying it out as it's requested under the settlement agreement and the ordinance to provide that data, and I think that those questions are what the board should be looking at. You know, are we at? Is it? Do we have a pattern of officers, PC, P1Cs that are escalating, or is the pattern the same that it seems to be officers between 3 to 5 or 7
right.
years of experience?
And you actually
those kinds of things.
Have that data in there, but not trended
right.
year over year.
Right. It was this way in 2015, it was this way in 2016, it was this way in 2017. Right.
And so your recommendation is on Thursday, next Thursday, that we say to the analysts, hey, can you give us some comps, add some comps to this?
If that's what you would like to see, and if it's possible, sure.
Okay. Do you have a sense of what kind of additional delay that might, those questions might bring?
No.
Okay.
They should be able to tell you, though. They know what data they have immediate access to.
Okay. Okay. Do we feel good about this?
Mm-hmm. I do.
Good to move on? Okay. So moving on to agenda item number 7, discussion on several items. The first is current police oversight misconceptions. I don't think this was born of me, so if somebody would like to clue me in.
Well, originally that came about after reading one of the counselors' op-ed in the journal. And so we just kind of wanted to, you know, it just felt like there was a lot of misinformed information there, and just and it's something that we're seeing across the board with City Council, you know, as the biggest body, but also just in the community, like what kind of misconceptions are out there and that you have noticed just reading different information that's being published either like in the journal or other editorials. And just kind of talk about that. That way we are aware of what misconceptions are out there and how we might be able to answer them from the agency's perspective, or even just correct those moving forward. Because we're going to be having some, I foresee in 2019 us having some public relations opportunities. And so we're going to be out doing interviews, or I'll be talking about a GovTV recording and like things like that, that we can maybe clear some of those misconceptions of what police oversight is here in Albuquerque.
One of the problems with the misconceptions will continue until we have collateral materials and until the website is where it needs to be. A self-guided tour of the what this is in video format, for example. You could have GovTV make that and put it on the website, or a link to it on the website, so people could just watch it and not have to dig and find. But I don't know that you can correct this. I think that certainly our recent experience shows us that there are misconceptions within the board, within the staff, within the community. It's kind of everywhere. The way you solve that is to start with having documents that are the documents, mm-hmm. that talk about what it is that this is about. I don't see that, and I don't understand why it isn't done already. But I think that that's that's the foundation, and then everything grows from that. So we're trying to build a house without a foundation, and that's not how it works.
So yeah, I would say that the other thing is, as far as city council goes, and I think it would really behoove us, especially right now, if we could somehow get members of city council on board and to participate in things with us, and so that they feel a sense of partnership mm-hmm. with oversight, which I think is missing. I think it would help to open those lines of communication if they were invited to things. But we have to figure out what's going on with this, like, no talking to one another thing. Because I thought that was solved after Thursday's meeting, and apparently it's not. So what light can you shed on that?
I think it is resolved.
Well,
could you tell us what it is?
There are two issues that, if there is an attorney there, that the attorneys would prefer that conversation happen with them to be present. One of them is the contract, and one of them is the filling of the board positions. Other than that, the board can interact with city council. It's just a matter of if their lawyer is there, and their position is that Chris Melendrez is not their attorney. However, he is introduced as their attorney. So there is that confusion.
Mm-hmm.
And so if there's another attorney present and those two topics are to be discussed, then your attorneys would like to be there as well. Other than that, communication is open.
So a conversation was attempted to be had last night with Lindsay about on-body recording devices.
Who's Lindsay?
The attorney for the city, one of the attorneys for the city. She's the one that goes to, isn't that her name, Lindsay? What's her last name? I feel like Van Stretten or something, but maybe not.
Van Meter.
Van
Meter, Lindsay Van Meter, okay. About on-body recording devices, so nowhere near those two topics, and she refused to have that conversation without having Tina present. So it is not resolved.
Well, I don't know where that... I sat in on the meeting, and I don't know why she would take that position. Maybe she just really didn't want to engage in conversation because she knew she was leaving the meeting that night. She was going...
She was leaving where?
Yeah.
She was going on a date with her husband.
Oh.
Well, that's nice. I don't know. I didn't get that sense. But
I think there's a lot of hyperbole roaming around. And I would say that this difficulty started because a board member decided to have a conversation as we had discussed, to go out on his own and have a conversation because he's going to mend fences on our behalf. And he ends up making it worse. And with or without intention, that's a fact. So I think that that's problematic. It continues to be problematic. And it's something that we have to fix. And everything that came, and I'm not saying there wasn't aggravation on both sides, but I think that the certainly the counselors were clear that they were aggravated by that. Mm-hmm. But I also understand Tina's position in that she has a board member who's going to talk to a lawyer about us without us being involved in the conversation. And he's speaking on our behalf again. You know, it's frustrating. And we have, those of us who have been around here long enough have seen where that gets played by the city attorney. We watched it with Jessica Hernandez, where she would have a conversation with whatever person she thought was the weakest link on the board, and then say, but I got a commitment from, you know, the board. We can't have that. We can't have that, okay? And I mean, there's an argument to be made that Chris Melendez was just doing his thing and had no ill will. Maybe he didn't. But every other lawyer that Tina's interacted with has brought up this subject. So I think that the constant in this problem is a board member who's determined to go and visit with everybody under the sun and not include the rest of the board in that process. So I'm not okay with that. I think that's where this discord comes from.
I think there's also a difference between speaking with city council and speaking with a city attorney. Mm-hmm. Lindsay Van Meter is assistant city attorney, so we don't know what instructions she has from her boss, Mr. Aguilar. So speaking with an attorney is different. A city attorney is different than speaking to somebody from the city council or their staff. Those are two different lines.
Yeah, but there's got to be, and I get that completely. There's got to be some wiggle room in there, though, because she is providing expertise and counsel on OPA-related policies that are coming through, and that has to be fair game. Like, we're members of OPA too now. We have a seat at the table. There's got to be some room for being able to talk to their attorneys when we're sharing same position.
And I don't disagree with you at all, okay? Obviously, that's a different kind of communication.
Right.
The communication that started this has to do with Chris Melendrez giving Bill instructions on how the board should behave.
I know.
Okay, and what the council was looking for. And he came to our meeting for personnel and shared this whole thing. He'd written up another diatribe about something, okay? That is the problem, okay? He is the problem.
Well,
and Tina reacted to it because of what Chris did. Now, I'm not saying Tina was 100% right. I'm saying the discord comes from the same place it always comes from.
I think that that particular part of the conversation is probably best to have with our attorney.
Well, I will definitely be part of that conversation tomorrow. But I'm just saying that I don't think it's all or nothing. I don't think Tina's saying it's all or nothing.
No, agreed. But the flip side of that is we still have a problem on the other side of the table, even if we thought, and I thought, that everything had been repaired. And I think Tina thinks that everything had been repaired. And last night was a prime example of it not. And it didn't have anything to do with the couple of policy or the couple of items on the table that, you know, were contentious. This was something completely unrelated, and we're still facing a block, a wall with communication.
What conversation about on-body recording devices was to take place that couldn't take place with other members of OPA, if that's the premise of the conversation, or what was the?
Yeah, I don't have the answer to that question because it never got that far, but that should have been a pretty innocuous subject in theory. And the issue that I'm concerned with is not being able to have just conversations. We just can't talk. That's the problem.
Maybe she's waiting for the full written document to be produced, because they're going to produce a written document. outline the concerns, and maybe that's what they're waiting for. Maybe
yeah, but answering this issue is this in this instance isn't the answer to the question you have.
Well, the reason that I bring that up, yeah, is because if we're still having issues, like if there's still this embargo on communication, like we can't do it, we've got to overcome that hurdle before we can address any of the misconceptions with city council or city legal or anybody else. I mean, like, that's where it circles back around. We can't do that without the ability to communicate with one another. And so in addition to the collateral materials and the website and just like getting the public information or the stuff up in public forums, like we also need to handle that particular issue as well. So
well,
that we
and
can
I think the process of going through the ordinance, which we'll all be together tomorrow for that.
Is that today?
Today.
Yesterday.
I mean today.
I was going to say.
At 1 o'clock, right?
Right.
I think that is the place where we, because to me, the core problem and the problem that's been the problem for the last 4 years has been that at different points in time, the word independent means different things, okay? And that's a problem. We need some clarification on what it means when it comes to HR issues. Who are we supposed to talk to? Mm-hmm. What does that mean relative to when the council says they want to be informed? What exactly are they talking about? What do they want? Okay, and we're happy to give it to them, but we need to understand it has to be defined. And instead, what we've been working on, trying to build, picture it this way: for the first year, we were dealing with an executive director who was a nightmare. I mean, a dysfunctional, corrosive human. The staff was really a mess. The relationships were non-existent between the board and the players. She had relationships. She was corrupting all of that. So we were trying to build a plane while we were flying it, okay? That's the circumstance we were in. We spent a lot of time on the relationships. Now, we're in a different place, okay? And we're trying to refine that. We now have the freedom of not having an obstructionist chief of police, not having the assistant chief the same problem. Mm-hmm. So we're at a unique place now. Now's not the time to blow up the machine, okay? And it's not okay with me that we're not having these conversations. And maybe we need to have a closed session every time that we have a board meeting so that we can do this, because the dyad, triad, all of that stuff is chaos, and it's not helping our cause to do this. So yeah, I think that the ordinance conversation will be helpful because it will help define some of the very things that confuse us.
Yeah, and I think that even city council and city attorneys are working on that very same issue, and I think that the at least initial dialogue that they're having sounds really appropriate.
Well, and them saying, yeah, and then them saying, I didn't know this, or I didn't know that. We were working on the assumption, as we're building this plane, that Julian was supposed to be our point of contact, and our only point of contact. We were not to bother them, okay? And now they're saying you should have bothered us.
Yeah.
So just tell us what you want, okay? And in the ordinance that we're changing, we can define
basics. Yep, absolutely.
And that will make a lot of the confusion less confusing.
Agreed. Ready to move on, or is there more that you want to add to it?
Okay. Nope, that's... We're
so ready. Then going on to notices to the public regarding special meetings and canceled meetings, this is at my request. So I know that you guys felt very strongly about canceling last week's meeting because it wasn't noticed properly, but what I would like to just, you know, remind us all of is that the subcommittees are not beholden to the OMA Act. So we try to, you know, abide by it and act in accordance with the way the board as a whole acts, and all committees try to do that, but we don't have to do that. So the fact that the agenda wasn't posted may be a problem that we want to address, you know, with staff, but I would like to not let that be a factor in determining whether or not we have a meeting. The meeting itself was noticed. There was nothing on the agenda that was earth-shattering. It's all talking points. There's nothing to vote on. And so when we do this, when we cancel a meeting at 8 o'clock the night before it happens, Amanda was still working in the office pulling stuff together. The people that she has to coordinate the room spaces with are, you know, put out because there may have been other people that have had wanted and requested that meeting space as well, but we had it tied up. And so we're keeping them from having the ability to utilize the space. It can't be done, and there's just no need for it. So I would ask, you know, the committee to consider that when these issues come up. And I think that the board as a whole, not just outreach committee, I think the board as a whole ought to consider those things and the behind the scenes work that's required for something that, even if somebody wanted to make a stink about it, like, we're not beholden to that act. But if they wanted to make a stink about it and something, you know, were to become problematic, the very worst that would happen would be that we have to have the meeting and vote on those issues again when it's noticed. So it's not like we're facing any kind of, you know,
that
really
strong objection.
Okay,
So my objection was it was the second time it happened. Mm-hmm. And so, you know, to me, there's, you know, I make a commitment to show up. Mm-hmm. I make a commitment to be prepared. And for the second time in a row, it got canceled for whatever reason.
It got canceled because the two of you asked that it be canceled.
Well, but the alternative was, you know, you can come, but you can't vote on anything. You know, that was the other thing. So I'm thinking, why am I going? I was frustrated. I have to say, I was really frustrated.
And I can certainly understand the frustration with the not having things posted. Like I get that, but there wasn't anything on the agenda that required voting, which is why I asked if you guys looked at the agenda, because that wasn't an issue. And you don't have to abide by OMA like that. There's nothing that would have stopped us.
Well, yeah,
because we've just decided, like, arbitrarily that we're going to do the best we can to follow those guidelines, but we don't have to.
Well, I think we need to move forward. I don't think it's a request just to check. I always check to make sure that we're posted for our case review. Mm-hmm. But moving forward, we need to have those posted because I understand what you're saying, but if there's something we want to vote on, let's vote on it.
We can. But that's what I'm saying, is we can't.
Well, that was the confusing
but
message
it's not
to
posted.
Me, was we can't vote on anything.
We can't because we are not under the thumb, as a subcommittee, mm-hmm. we are not under the thumb. Am I mistaken, Ed? As a subcommittee, we are not under the thumb of OMA. It's the board as a whole that is, correct?
That's correct, because you're only making recommendations.
To the board.
To make the decision.
Right. So we do not have to do that.
Is it our choice to have a closed meeting instead of an open meeting? Can we keep Charles out of here for case review?
I don't think so.
I don't think so.
Well, let's see. That's what I'm saying.
Yeah.
You know, we're not under OMA, but we are.
But we are, yeah.
That's a really good question to ask Tina. I think that let's be sure to ask Tina that question this afternoon.
Well, just think about how much easier it would be to just be able to have a working session
for
every committee meeting.
For sure. I'm just saying at the last minute, at 8 o'clock on a Monday night, let's not decide that we're not going to have our 10 o'clock in the morning meeting or whatever that is.
Okay, well, let's all check and make sure that the computer and everything's posted right. That's all we
okay,
have to do.
Okay, yeah. But perhaps we do that before 8 o'clock on Monday night.
Well, no, I had called you because I wanted to review it. Then I said, wait a minute. And I went through my emails. I didn't receive an email.
Yeah.
And that's when I went on the website. Yes.
And that's where it comes on the admin side.
Yeah, yes. And that's a separate conversation.
Right.
Like, there are things, and Amanda and I talked about this. I mean, Amanda and I talked about our agenda, like, way in advance, too, so that we didn't run into any deadlines with the holiday and stuff. So there is that particular issue. I agree. There is that particular
mm-hmm,
issue.
That's all.
But,
we'll just all pay attention.
But in the event that that should happen, that something slips through the cracks, let's not stop the world
but
from...
But with all of us, we'll just check. Or,
yeah.
You know,
and that's
and
fair.
Just, yeah.
That's fair.
Okay.
New CPOA outreach materials?
So I just had a follow-up here. I was working with, I sent out a quote request to a few of the vendors again on our list because we had a change in, I thought we were going to have a big change in vendors. I'm working with ABQ Graphics BCT and Starline Printing to get the quotes right now. Each of them are kind of requiring more of a little bit more thorough conversation, where instead of just sending like we need 5,000 brochures, blah blah blah. So I'm working with them to show them our materials and exactly what we're looking for, because a lot of them, I'm trying to explain the perforated thing where you tear it off and it has a postage on it, and they're not really understanding that, so I'm having to like meet with them or set materials aside for them to come pick up so that they can get an idea of it to give us the most accurate quote possible. But I think everything is going to be fine. It kind of happened during the right before the holiday break, so a lot of them were out for 2 weeks. They weren't coming back in. And so now we're just catching up with them on that to get that situated, and working with the post office to get that fee set up and taken care of. The post office fee starts, it's for 1 year, and you kind of have a balance, and we'll set that
up. Is it a running year, 12-month mm-hmm. year, or not, yeah. not a calendar year?
It's a running year.
So what's a reasonable time frame to get this thing done? Because we have literally been talking about this since I joined this committee.
Yeah, and I agree with Joanne with like everything, the materials and all of that. Right now I'm actively working with them. That's been taking a bulk of my, well, not a bulk, but a big chunk of my time. I'm thinking that we have our materials and everything already ready, and they'll be able to draft something as soon as we're able to select which printing company we're going to go with. So once we get those drafts, then I can bring them to you. I'm guessing by the time our next outreach meeting, we should have a draft from them.
And dollars?
Dollars, it's
like the
based
quotes?
Based off of what we're looking at, I think it's going to cost around $2,500. Ish, maybe a little bit more.
For how much?
5,000 brochures, and that's both in English and Spanish.
They're English and Spanish on the same form,
yeah,
right?
On the same form. So 5,000 of those, and then our mediation brochures, we're going to order about 2,500 of them.
And are they going to be designed to go with
mm-hmm.
the other
Yeah,
one?
So mm-hmm. they're going, so I'm also working with a graphic designer, talking to the graphic designers to kind of up our designs on our materials. Mm-hmm. And so I brought an example of our mediation brochure right now, but I'm also working with them on what to put
this
on.
This is just a color print.
Yeah, this is just something we printed in-house, but it's something that we use and we talk about to the public who we recommend for mediation programs. And then we also share this with our academy classes. When Ed goes to speak to them, we give these to them to let them know what the mediation mm-hmm. program is to the incoming cadets right before they graduate.
So are these same design elements that are gonna be in the main brochure?
No. No, it's going to be something.
Well, they look like they go together.
Yeah, they'll complement each other, as well as with our poster boards too.
Okay. Mm-hmm. So you're thinking by
a draft.
Is that $2,500 for these and the others?
Yes. So it's for the posters, the posters, the mediation brochure is $2,500, and then $5,000 okay. starting. At 5,000 with our regular complaint forms.
Okay, and then that's assuming not with the postage.
That will have no. That's a whole different account.
Okay.
So I think we're going to start off with $100 in our postage, just to get
a
feel.
Something in there.
Uh-huh, just to get a feel for how much we're going to be able. How much is going to be utilized?
And it only draws from that postage account mm-hmm. if it's actually sent through the mail.
Correct. Correct.
Cool.
Okay. And who designed this one?
I think Miriam had, she had designed this one before she left the agency.
And someone is going to go over this because the pictures are skewed the way
yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, no, this is just, this is something just that we did on in-house.
But this is already out, right? You guys are just printing it in-house?
Yeah, we're printing it in-house, but it's only given to who we recommend for the program and then also to the cadets of the academy.
Right, so I'm in agreement. It needs to be cleaned up a little bit and probably we ought to just take a look at it, a closer look at it. But
that's your copy. You can have that one. I'm pretty confident that we can have a draft by our next outreach meeting.
A draft of
our materials. So
didn't we do that already?
Well, just so that you guys can see it before it gets printed, okay. Because $2,500 is a lot to spend on something that needs
one more
to,
look.
Yeah.
Okay, fine.
I don't know if you've had, and tell me if you have, experience with working with printers,
mm-hmm.
But especially something as intricate as this, you're going to need to give them a mock-up that shows them what it is.
Yeah.
And that you're going to have to do that for us anyway,
mm-hmm.
And so it makes it easier for them to know exactly what you want, mm-hmm. and then that when you go to sign off, you can compare the two things,
mm-hmm.
and make sure that it's right, because the worst thing is to spend $2,500 and find out that it's asked backwards.
And that's kind of, and based off of the information that we've put together, like throughout the last couple of meetings on what information we want on the brochures and all of that, I was able to kind of submit a mock-up of it, but I'm also meeting with the graphic designers to talk to them a little bit more, because I don't have a lot of experience in like printers and like all of that stuff, but I'm able to sit there and like draw with them, like, you know, this needs to go here on this panel,
right.
And et cetera, et cetera.
If there's a way that I can be helpful to you,
what my suggestion is, because she's designed a lot.
So I'm happy to do it. I've worked with all the printers you're talking about, so they also have graphic designers in-house.
Yeah.
Certainly Starline does, and ABQ Graphics.
All of them have a graphic designer that I've been kind of...
But you're working with a separate one?
No. They're all with each, so I'm working with each three of these, and each of them have an in-house graphic designer that was kind of asking me basic questions right now. Nothing
to try to come up with a quote.
Yes. Mm-hmm. So nothing is. It's not like actually thorough. The only one that I've that's really been real aggressive is ABQ Graphics, but aggressive in a good way, asking a lot of questions. Yeah. Very. And so.
If there's a way I can be helpful, I'm happy to do it.
Yep. I will definitely reach out if I. Have a issue.
Okay.
But that's where we're at with that. And then the mediation brochures, I just gave those.
Okay, you just gave that. Okay.
Ladies and gent, I will tell you, I've only got about 15 minutes.
Okay, so the website?
The CPO mediation program. This came up, you were on that phone call when we had our meeting last Thursday, and I tried to kind of get your attention, Ed, to see if this was something that you felt as though outreach should maybe take on. I don't know if you feel as though they were talking about the promotion of the mediation program. And so I didn't know if you felt like this was something outreach should take on, or if you think that this is something that another entity in the city should take on.
Well, I think at this point internally it should be outreach. I was surprised to hear the city attorney proposed that we may need to establish our own panel of mediators, and that he thought that there might be the possibility that because city ADR is doing it through their community mediation, that might be a stifling part of it. So, but at this point, we just need mediation to be promoted and the option to be better understood.
So I thought that recommendation was super cute when we have 6 board members.
Yeah.
I thought it was really super cute.
Can I, the thought that I had when I was listening, though I was minding a 10-month-old baby and had you all on mute, the thought that I had is, does anybody know yet, and perhaps you do know, Ed, or maybe you know, Who runs the best mediation program in this city, private or government?
I don't know in the city. I will reach out to New Orleans because I know that they have a very successful mediation program through their oversight.
I think that's certainly great information, but I also think that there's a lot of mediation going on in this town, and some of it is more successful than others, and perhaps we could learn from people who are dealing with the same audience. What they do in another city may be very valuable, and it may be something that we should definitely look at, but I wondered if this committee, somebody on this committee, could take a look at who's got the goods on making mediation work in whatever arena. How do they promote it? How do they let people know? Who are they hooked into? How does it work? When does it work? Hours, all of that stuff. We could get some good information that would help us make ours better.
Well, I have a thought, because I've seen it with the courts for a settlement agreement. They call them mediators, and I'll find out the names of a couple, because I kind of sat in on them before, and they do a wonderful job.
Yeah. I don't think our issue right now is not finding mediators, because we have that option right now. I think what the issue is that...
Getting the word out.
Well, it's actually educating the complainant on what the mediation checkmark means, like, are you interested in mediation? We have that on our complaint form, and a lot of them don't know what that means, so they'll say, I need more information. But once they have that, once we give them that information, a lot of them are opting out of mediation when they are specifically encouraged
face to face,
right? And so, and a lot of that we need to figure out, well, why are they not wanting to do mediation when they're filing this long, thorough complaint about how angry and upset they are, but yet they don't want to do mediation? So that's where we need to figure out what kind of outreach we can do to help encourage the complainant to
seek mediation.
Well, maybe we should learn from the customers we've had that said no. Perhaps we pull together a focus group of just those, and it's
that's
just us
idea.
On the board.
That's great.
This
idea.
Committee, not really any official
idea.
Person.
Mm-hmm.
And we get, you know, we ask 10 and hope that we get 6. And we ask them, you know, what this is just between us, you know.
That's a great
so
idea.
So why don't we start there and then see about what the problems are with it, what the hesitancies are? And then we can figure out, because I think that that's probably the mediation program, something that we're going to add to the 2019 list of to-dos is my expectation. But yeah, I think that's probably the better place
well,
to start.
Well, you know, I think that having a checkbox that says mediation may not be the way to get people to have a conversation with you about it. Mm-hmm. So maybe that's something that whoever talks to them, mm-hmm. The investigators that talk to them can say, you know, assuming it gets assigned to somebody, have you considered mediation? Let me tell you a little bit about it, you know, kind of thing. Because that kind of conversation is going to yield you more results just because you're having a conversation.
Mm-hmm.
And you could recruit some answers from that, but we could start with the big jump of a focus group that the three of us could run.
And just if it comes up, I would say if it comes up, the opportunity presents itself to start those dialogues. We don't have to do them, you know, sequentially. We can do them in parallel.
Well, and they may not be. It may be that we have, let's say we pick 6 people that are willing to meet with us. Mm-hmm. We may need to meet, go to them. Can we have a cup of coffee with you and tell
That's
us?
That's a great idea.
You know, not a focus group because they'd have to come together.
Mm-hmm. Do you want someone from who's filed a complaint, or can I find someone?
No, I want someone who's filed a complaint decided
okay.
not to do mediation.
All right.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
Sounds good.
So let's start there. Website updates per discussion from POB meeting. So this is your honey-do list,
yeah,
right?
So everything
that's done, right?
Is done. It's updated annual reports. Annual reports, the proposed ordinance is also up there, and then also the new CPOA and policy and procedures are updated.
And Ed listed as the
Yeah, oh yes, and Ed is listed on our contact page. You'll see that Ed is listed under the IRPA request information as a custodian of records for that. Yeah, so all of that's up. Another thing that we added to the website recently was because of the proposed ordinance, and we wanted some feedback from the community to be able to share with the POB. So we created a feedback form, and I'm actually going to send you the form right now. I text messaged it to you guys.
Oh, thank you.
But the form, we got it live yesterday, and it's just a short one. It's an online feedback form regarding the amended police oversight ordinance. And on that form, we specifically added, we uploaded a PDF file of the ordinance so that it can be reviewed. On the form, we ask for first, last name, an email address, a telephone number, and then we added a comment section box that says, you know, after reviewing the city council's proposed amendment changes to the oversight ordinance, we just ask to provide feedback, strongly encourage to share general comments, thoughts, opinions, ordinance recommendations in the space provided below.
I have a question. What you posted about the changes in the ordinance, does it have the original ordinance with strike-throughs?
Yes. Okay. Mm-hmm. It's the one just copy. It's right off of City Council's, the Legistar. So we just were able to
So it shows both things together.
It's strike-through. Okay. And then, so they have that option. And then also, we had another tab that says follow-up discussion, and if they're interested in having a follow-up discussion regarding the ordinance, if they wish to be contacted by somebody from the police oversight agency, whether that's like staff or a board, board member, just to have that conversation, they have that option to select yes or no to follow up. I know last
And does it post the date for tonight, to this afternoon's meeting and all that? For them to participate?
No.
Okay.
That's something separate.
But it was noticed on social media.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, I was very, good. Very excited about
Thanks
that.
Thanks to Ed. Ed did that one.
Our special meeting with with an actual call to action, which was awesome. Hey, come and participate in this discussion. So that was really cool.
Yeah, okay. So we have that. And then we also we also have that on our upcoming events. Upcoming meetings and events too, and I can actually, which reminds me, I can connect, add that form, feedback form on that announcement so that it will show up under past meetings and all of that stuff too. So that's just something new that we did to try to help solicit information, feedback on that ordinance.
Cool. Thanks, Amanda, for getting that stuff done. Upcoming PR opportunities for the agency. Is that yours?
No. Oh. A couple of weeks ago, since I don't know if I'm going to be reappointed, I went to the Human Rights Committee, and it was an interesting meeting. They're newly formed. I think it would be, and they really haven't really heard of us, so I think it'd be a good opportunity for you to schedule to get on their agenda.
Okay.
January is the only full, and they only meet about every other month.
Okay. And this is the Human Rights Committee?
Yeah, we have one here in the city.
Okay. Still so it's another board? Or
it's another board, okay. Right.
For the city of Albuquerque.
Uh-huh. They're just newly formed, and it's... I think it'd be a great opportunity to go meet with them, and they wanted some of your forms and your things. So I'll get you the information. They're kind of hard to find on the website, but
I'll ask. I'll get it. Thank you.
Okay.
I noted that. That sounds great. And then I also got a GovTV schedule invite if we wanted to. Schedule a show, like a recording. They have them in 15 or 30 minute increments, and they sent me their availability for January 16th or 17th, and we can schedule anytime. The time frame is between 9 and 3:30 p.m. And if that's something that we want to do, we can certainly submit a request to be able to do a recording on one of those days. All it asks is, you know, title of the show, show topic, basically what's going to be discussed, and which length of program we would like, 15 or 30 minutes.
That would be a great opportunity to discuss the mediation program you're working on, don't you think?
Something I don't know that we're going to have any real information.
I know, but maybe, you know.
But at some point in the future, mm-hmm. For sure.
Well, I would say the thing that we do know is how to file a complaint.
That's a good idea.
And maybe the staff can just do a, you know, a role play.
Okay.
And just do it that way. And something, I would say the 15-minute version, because you want it small enough to be able to put it on the on the website.
Oh, wonder, yes.
Okay, I'll talk to Ed about that later.
And I think, of course, it should be a compliment or a complaint. Either way.
Yeah. Yes, thank you.
Okay, anything else that you wanted under that?
Nope.
Okay, outreach plans for 2019?
I think we kind of laid out a few of them already. Just some of our PR stuff that we have scheduled. And I think that this is a little bit more of a thorough discussion for next time.
See if we could table it for next time. Or
I'll just add it to the agenda.
Thank you. Anything else we want to discuss today? I know there's a lot going on.
Is it?
Yeah.
Okay.
So next meeting, looking at January, and we've been attempting to do the fourth Tuesday of the month. Does that work, or is there a better time?
I just was hoping we were trying to tie it because the two of us are on the other one and this one. So.
And Chelsea and I are fine with tying them because it's just a matter of she prefers later in the day, and I prefer earlier.
So somewhere in between?
Yeah, I'm running into a little bit of a change in things right now. My kiddo is in school from 9 to noon and then from 12:15 to 3. And so those are my only windows of being able to meet.
So how about 1 to 3?
I can do like a 1 to 2:30.
A 1 to 2:30.
Yeah.
Yeah.
1 to 2:30 on the fourth Tuesday of the month.
The fourth Tuesday would be the 22nd of January.
The 22nd of January, right. We're good with that, and then we'll try and hold true to that time so that we can just schedule that out. Mm-hmm. Does that work? Okay.
It's 1 to 2:30.
1 to 2:30. All right, guys. Anything else we want to discuss? All right. Okay. Then can I have a motion to adjourn?
A motion that we adjourn.
And second, all in favor?
Aye.
We are done.
Okay. See you guys
right on time.